believe what Joseph said that was from God, rather. And now Egypt, Pharaoh bucked up against God's laws and brought all the consequences on himself and the country, and as we were talking about in the break time, has never recovered since that time. Exodus chapter 14. Bible says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you take a look around, basically around the world over time, the nations that have had what little of the word has been available, where that word has lived, the average standard of living generally has been higher for the individual than the other countries. Think about it. Exodus 14. So, Exodus 14, verse 7. And he, Pharaoh, took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Now he's going to get them. He wants them back. Come back here. You took my watch. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside these two wonderful towns. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry forth us out of the Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the what? If God was going to bring them out, was God going to let them die then?
No.
No. If God gets us to first base, he's not going to leave us there so long as we're walking. He got us to first base, right? Look what happened. So, this is great believing, isn't it? No, not great. Great heart. I mean, these people, what did they just see? They just saw the firstborn of everything die in Egypt. They just walked out and took the money. A whole nation of slaves. And they got a rebellion. They got out their Uzis and they studied martial arts under Bruce Lee. And they kicked some butt. No. You know what happened? God fought the battle. And they walked out, took the money, and got the hell out of there. How about that? God fought the battle. They walked out the door, said, see you later. By the way, give me that watch and I'll see you later. God did it all. And now they think they're going to die out there. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look at his stayed men, all these people. Hey, Moses, what did you bring us out here for? We should have been back there. You should have left us alone. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, what?
No more forever.
What was going to happen to these Egyptians? They were going to go for a swim. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And Moses said to God, I can't believe that. Can you say that? And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon all his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. So, verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused. Who caused?
The Lord caused.
The sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were what?
Divine.
God told Moses this, and Moses had to believe the revelation. That takes believing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go down to the Hudson River. Raise your hand, and there's not going to be any water there in a little while.
Isn't
that? Oil. Think about that. Think about that. God told Moses. Moses believed, and it came to pass. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen, like cowboys and Indians. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their what? What a place to have a flat tire, worse than the Lincoln Tunnel. Took off their chariot wheels, so they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the what?
The Egyptians.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as what? But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Do you think that might have like been a heavy memory to keep in mind? It's not something that happens every day. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared, respected the Lord, and believed the Lord, and his what? That's heavy, isn't it? Okay. If somebody fights against God, they're fighting on the wrong team, right? If somebody fights against us, they're fighting on what?
The wrong team.
If we really believe we're sons of God and know our sonship rights, then nobody can mess with us. God's going to tell us what to do, like the incident Jerry gave or whatever. If we stand on our legal grounds, when people fight against us, who are they fighting against?
God.
That's what happened here, and these guys got killed. Okay. When people fight against us and we're believing, when we believe, we will prosper and we'll have an abundant life. If we don't believe, the things that God gave us and the privileges that we have, we will not be able to operate them because the world will rip us off. So, Egypt was destroyed militarily because they fought against God. Okay, Exodus chapter 16. We're going to skip the section in 15. You can read sometime 15, 22 to 27. And in that record there, they needed to get some water. And they were murmuring against Moses, and God got them some water. So, now in 16 here, 16 chapter 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which was between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The 15th day of what month?
Second.
Passover was the 14th day of the first month. Okay, then it probably took, by calculations, about a week to go from where they were to the Red Sea. So that's a week. So, by modern math or whatever kind of math, then this is about 3 weeks approximately after the Red Sea incident. Had the children of Israel recently seen some heavy miracles?
Yeah.
What did they see? Parting of the Red Sea, they saw, they walked out of Egypt. They saw the cloud and the pillar of fire and all these things. They saw some heavy stuff. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with what?
Hunger.
That's really a positive statement. The synchronized life. You ever read that collateral reading? It has nothing to do with that statement. Is God going to take them out there and let them die, starve after all that? No. How many people, Bob? 2.5 million? Have you ever had 2.5 million people on your butt?
Why'd you bring us out here dying out of the wilderness?
Now, I know some of you guys have big twigs. So, John, your twig gets mad at you. There's only 40 of them here. We're talking about here a few people, and sometimes only Moses. And let me tell you, the odds were against him. He had a big twig. Okay, so what happens? Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Do they need to eat?
Yeah.
So God sent them bread. God sent them bread. God fed them. God took care of them in the wilderness. If God can send them manna from heaven, can God take care of our needs? Sure. Suppose I need a job. God help me find a job. 2.5 million people God fed. You want, let's stop world hunger. Let's go Farm Aid or Band-Aid or something like that. And then we'll stop world hunger. Bullshit. Half the money doesn't go there anyway. And you know it as well as I do. Hey, you want to stop world hunger? Here was 2.5 million people that needed some food. What happened? They got fed. Okay, we can deal with the cause, or we can deal with the effect. Most people in life deal with the senses effect instead of the spiritual cause. The reason why many countries are so poor is because the gods they got are wrong. Now, hey, here's an interesting thing. In verse 3, And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we died by the hand of the Lord, right, when we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. Hey, I'd rather go back. I'd rather be a slave. I'd rather get my butt whipped. I'd rather have my son killed. Just give me some what?
Food.
Give me some food. Take me back. Now that, sometimes people in life have that mentality. It's too hard to be out here in the wilderness and believe God. I'd rather just settle for my old religion, or settle, I want to go back to being a natural man. Take me back to the land of bondage, because this believing stuff, it's too free. There's too many things that I can believe for. I got to go back to bondage. And we laugh, but you know what? A lot of people do go back to bondage, don't they? Because being back to, you know what to expect. You're going to get screwed. So you expect it. But you're going to get a little bread. Is Egypt the land of bondage? Take me back for a little food. A little slave mentality. Just give, make it easy for me. I don't care. So long as I can eat, I'll be fine. What was their price? Piece of bread. What was Moses' price? Everything that the grandson of God-man Pharaoh could have. Moses had a different standard in life than these people. You get what you settle for, or you get what you believe for. Okay, so, chapter 17. And sometimes, you know, people get whacked out. But we got to stand, and then the people will come back. We don't stand because of people, we stand on the Word. And as long as the Word is hot, then people, when they get cold out there, they can come back and get nice and warm. But if we go chase everybody all around all the time, and we get cold ourselves because we're too busy chasing people, then we don't have a lot of heat to give people, do we? Okay, look at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. You can read all these records. There's a lot more in here than obviously that we're covering, but it's pretty interesting. Okay. Verse 2 says, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, shut up." No. "I'm sick of you. Why do you chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt what? The Lord." Whoa. So who was on his side? "And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up to the land of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle in the thirst, with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to what?
Stone me."
Now, Moses was a bad guy, and he slept with everybody's wife and beat the hell out of all the kids and did all the nasty things that every human being on the face of the earth will ever think about doing. Why is everybody mad at Moses?
Because they're
weird. Yeah, and Moses stood on the word, and they were screwed up, right? Moses got all this flack, not because he was a bad guy, but because he stood on the word of God. Sometimes standing on the word of God is not a popular decision. And when you got stoned back then, it was a little different than how many of us have defined it over the years. Exodus chapter 32. When you got stoned, that was one high you didn't recover from. Exodus 32. They almost wanted to kill him. And Moses' fault was that he stood for God. So now, Moses is up on the mountain talking to God. God's telling him what's going on and some things. And while Moses was away, the people played. And what's the thing that makes God madder than anything?
Idolatry.
And old Egypt, back in Egypt there, they had some gods that looked like cows and all that stuff. So they took a little bit of Egypt with them in the wilderness. And the stuff of Egypt they took with them was the unbelief that they were raised in. They had some trouble believing God. So Moses is on sabbatical up on the mountain talking with God. And while he's away, Aaron is at the helm. And God tells Moses when he was up there what was going on. And now here's one of the most weaselly records in the Bible. One of the most weaselly statements in the Bible. Verse 21, "And Moses said unto Aaron," he comes back and he sees the people with this golden calf, dancing and worshiping it and carrying on. "And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on what? For they said unto me," who said? They're responsible, not me. "Make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, make us gods. How can a man make God?" That's an interesting statement anyway. So, remember the Ford and Henry? Can the Ford make Henry or Henry make the Ford? So what's this right here?
Stupidity.
This is the Ford making Henry. Okay. Stupidity too. All right. "For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know where the H-E is. He's not here. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him do what? And so they gave it me, and what did I do? It was incredible. I cast it into the fire, and out came this what? It was incredible. Look what happened." Just like that. Okay, so you can read the rest of the record, but they blew it. When the children of Israel in the Old Testament and us today, when we have other gods, when something else is first ahead of God, then God really cannot work as well. So, verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you've sinned a great sin. Did they sin a great sin? Yes. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great what?
Sin.
And have made them gods of what?
Gold.
Still are gods of gold today in the world. And now, yet if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, do what? Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast what?
Written.
In other words, hey, God, if you can't forgive their sin, if you got to do something, take me out of the book of life and save them. Now, the book of life, that means is eternal life. Now, the reason I read that record a few chapters before that was these were the people not very long ago that almost wanted to do what?
Stone him.
They almost wanted to kill him. And now Moses is saying, hey, look, you know, if it has to be, take away my eternal life to save their necks. Was Moses reacting to their anger?
No.
Sometimes if somebody says something bad to me, it's very easy to want it back to them. Here were people that almost wanted to kill Moses, and his action not very long after that was he was willing to give up his eternal life to save their ass. One of the big tricks of the adversary, Daphne's mean to me, so then that means next time I see Daphne, what am I going to do? Be mean to her. And then, when I'm mean to her, what's she going to do to me? She's going to be really mean to me. And then I'm really going to get her the next time. And pretty soon, I got an enemy. Because of people reacting instead of acting out of the love of God. Okay, so another record we can read sometime. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12. Sometimes the people that are around us don't inspire our believing, do they? Now, it's great to come in this room. We're all doing great, basically, and we're all believing. It's inspiring, isn't it? Inspiring when you go to Twig and everybody's blessed and sharing about what God did for me and all this other kind of stuff. And man, I went to Twig and I found out what God did for Lance and what God did for Manny and all. Man, I got blessed. But how about when we go to Twig and everybody's pissed off? Are we still going to believe?
Yeah.
Here in this situation, there was a lot, thousands of whacked out people on Moses' butt all the time. Moses had to base his believing not on the people, but he had to base his believing on God. When we first get in the Word, maybe, we might walk on somebody else's feet until we can walk on our own, right? And that's the process of under-shepherding. But when we begin to get mature in the Word, you know what happens? It's not, we don't feed off of other people. It's got to be the Word of God. Because if my believing is based on Lance, and Lance is not doing too good in believing today, what am I going to do with my believing? Not too good. If my wife's believing is based on my believing, and my believing isn't too good today, what happens to her? Same thing. But if both of our believing is based on the Word, then what happens?
It shall come to pass.
Boom. And then if I fall, she kicks my butt, and then we're solid on the Word. That's why you ladies and gentlemen who are single, you ought to marry some believers. You know what I mean? They shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side. Remember that? Okay, come back. You know why? It's been one of the biggest rip-offs overall for a long time, hasn't it, Jerry? Marrying unbelievers. Hey, you know why I marry an unbeliever? If I want to be a junkie, who do I hang around with? If I want to be a hot believer, I ought to marry who?
A hot believer.
That's right. A hot believer. That's right. And you know what? Speaking about hot believers, if we got it this way, it's better this way. You want to live a good life? That's true. Some of you think it's funny, but it isn't. It's true. You want to live a good life? See, Johnny and Sally are getting married. You know, they're both doing good, great on the word. They have something in common. You marry somebody who's not a hot believer or not a believing believer, the biggest, most important thing in your life, you can't share with them. It's tough. See, you stand on the word of God like this, and then, man, and then when one falls down, the other one picks them up. When this one falls down, the other one picks them up. It's the word, the foundation. Sex is not the foundation of a marriage. If it is, if the sex is bad someday, what happens to the marriage? It ain't there anymore. Somebody once said to me, yeah, my parents, the foundation of their marriage was sex. He said, they're divorced now. The foundation in our life is the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Look what happened here. Moses, all these people had some trouble believing. Yet Moses based his life on the word. And because of that, the children of Israel came back. Because a man took a stand. A man took a stand. Exodus chapter Numbers. You could read Numbers chapter 12. I'm not going to read it with you, but Numbers 12 talks about Miriam and Aaron, people very close to Moses who copped out temporarily, and Moses took a stand. And God took a stand for Moses. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, about 2.5 years after the children of Israel were in the wilderness, wandering around, they came to a town called, or an oasis called Kadesh Barnea. And this was very close to the promised land. And God wanted them to go into the promised land. Just like us today, God has set us free from the land of bondage. And now it's his will that we go into the land of promises. How do we go into the land of promises?
Believe.
By believing. By believing, we go into the land of promises by believing. Was it God's will after 2.5 years that all these 2.5 million people go right into the promised land? Was it?
Yeah.
Yes. It was God's will that they go in, and they were going to go in by believing. And Numbers chapter 13 here. And so the people wanted Moses to send spies into the promised land to spy it out. It was never God's primary will that the spies go in, but the people wanted it, so God told them to told them what to do. So they went in, they wanted to check out the promised land. Verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation that showed them the fruit of the land. Was it God's will to go in?
Yes.
Yes. Was it God? All right. The answer is yes. Was it God's will to go in?
Yes.
Repite, por favor. Si. Was it God's will to go in?
Yes.
Okay. Next. All right. Now, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and they got mortars in there, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Was that God's will? Yes. Was that God's will?
Yes.
Was that God's will?
Yes.
Okay, and there were 12 spies, and Caleb, and Joshua, and there were 10 other ones. Caleb stands up after these guys are puking all over the place, and he says, go in, But the men that went up with him said, But we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That's a bunch of bull, you know what? Sense knowledge-wise, yes. Spiritually, no. What just happened a couple and a half years ago? All those Egyptians went for a swim. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched of the children of Israel, saying, The land, though we have gone and searched it, is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of very great what? Oh, they're big people. Man, they all weightlifters from gold gyms. Man, they're all bouncers, every one of them. And there we saw the giants. They were giants, man. The sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. Man, in our own sight. As what? Grasshoppers. And so we were in what? It really doesn't matter in our own sight. What really matters is a far-sighted God's sight. And if we got God's sight, we're not going to be as grasshoppers. You know what this is? Sense knowledge. Was it God's will to go up? Yes. And they had all this now sense knowledge telling about all this kind of stuff. Well, you got to watch out for this. There are giants and all this stuff. And 14:1, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why did they weep and why were they sad? Because they believed sense knowledge over the revealed word and will of God. Is it the word of men or is it the word of God? Which do I choose to believe? And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? This is such great believing. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Take me back to my old man. Take me back to the land of bondage, because all this goodness of God here, I cannot deal with it. And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceeding good land. Here it is, verse 8. And if the Lord delight in us, and he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with what? That means they didn't have to work for it. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. They were rebelling because of unbelief, trusting sense knowledge ahead of the word of God. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Fear, that's a good one right there. Man's only enemy, believer's only enemy is what? Fear. For they are bread for us, manna for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So, what happens in this situation? 12 men go up. 12 men go up. Two of them come back and say, We're going to go in. 10 of them come back and say, Man, there's giants up there. We ought to not go in. What's the difference? 2 men come back. Did they all see the same thing when they were there? Yes. They all saw the land, right? They saw the land. They saw the people. They saw this. They saw that. They saw the grapes, everything. 2 men come back and want to go in. 10 people come back and say, No way. 2 of them saw the truth behind the facts. The other 10 men only saw the facts. What separates believing believers from unbelieving believers are those who choose to look at the truth and put the truth ahead of the facts. The truth was, go in. The facts were something different. 2 men chose to trust the truth, God's will, instead of the facts. Was it God's will for them to go in? Yes. Did they go in? No. And you know what happened? They didn't go in for another 37 and a half years. Another 37 and a half years, they wandered around and they didn't travel very far. And you know what happened in those 37 and a half years? All those people who were 20 years and older at that time died. Except for the Levites, because they weren't numbered among the people, and Moses and Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they were the two that did what? Believe. Remember that? All these other guys died. And you know why? They did not go into the promised land because they did not what?
Believe.
We now are saved out of the land of bondage. If we want to go into the land of promises, if we're really going to walk on God's word, it's about believing. Or I can choose to wander around, or I can choose to go back to my old man. But if I really want to go in, I go in because of believing. All these people died, God's kids. Do you know why? God couldn't take them in at that time after 2.5 years. God couldn't have taken them in to the promised land, because if he took them in, you know what would have happened to them? They all would have died. And there was the Christ line, God's people. So after all those years, 37 and a half years, the people finally believed to go in to the promised land. Was it God's will that they go in? Yes. What kept them out?
Fear.
Sense knowledge. Senses-based believing on the senses that said, do not go. The promise of God was go. Those guys said no. Yes, it was available to go in. And same in our life today. What holds us back? We are where we are because of our what?
Believing.
Now, it's not the land of promised land. Now it's the land of promises. If I want the land of promises, all I got to do is claim by my believing. That's all. What a graphic record of what happened. And to close, Joshua chapter 3. How did the children of Israel get into Canaan and get into the promised land after 40 years wandering around in the wilderness? Well, Moses had died. God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is what? Dead. Now arise and go. Get up and go over there. And so God told Joshua to get into the promised land. They had to cross the Jordan. They had to cross the Jordan. The Jordan was a river, and they had to go over the river. I haven't said it yet. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. To get into the promised land, now they had to cross the river. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are coming to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Okay, verse 13, here it is. This is how they did it. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark that were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon very far upon the city of Dam, that's beside Zaratan, and those came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over what?
Jordan.
Okay, what happened? The priests, the Levites, they were the ones that bore the ark on their shoulders. They carried the ark. The ark of the covenant is where God met the people in between the two cherubims. So what the ark stood for at that time was the presence of God. The ark stood for God. So how did they get into the promised land? The priests that bore the ark, which stood for God, walked right into the river. And as they walked into the river, as soon as the soles of their feet hit the water went back. God is never late. They walked right into the river that overflowed its banks. And as they walked, carrying what represented God and His Word, the water went back. And they stood out in the middle, and the people walked. And walked on dry ground. Joshua believed the revelation, and the people believed what Joshua told them. So then what happened? The priests walked out with the ark, and the people passed. So, what happened in this situation? God and His Word had proper place in their life. What went first? The Word and God. God went first. God makes a way where there is no way. God's Word is His will. How the children of Israel finally got into the promised land was by God, because God made a way where there is no way. God was first. The Ark of the Covenant, which stood for God, was right out in the middle. The people walked behind the path that was led by God, and they got into the promised land. God's Word is the path, and it is an absolute sure way, and then it's our believing whether we choose to walk in God's deliverance or not. So to sum up this whole thing very briefly, all the way back in Egypt, we saw Pharaoh went up because he believed what a man of God spoke. All the country of Egypt went down, and went down hard because of unbelief, fighting against God's people. The children of Israel, God did so many wonderful things for them. He wanted them out. He did so much, but He was limited by their believing. Moses was a phenomenal man. His believing was not based on the unbelief of the people, but he stood on God's Word. And because he stood, then he could continue to lead those people, even though sometimes they were very terrible people to lead. And eventually they wandered around, and because of unbelief, they wandered around, and they kept out of the promised land because of their unbelief and their unbelieving ways. Yet, after 40 years of wandering, the people finally believed. God told Joshua to take them in. And when Joshua took them in, God told Joshua what to do. It was God, the ark, that showed them the way. And the only way the people were going to get in there was if they followed God. And they followed God, and they got into the promised land. If we choose to walk in God's way, then every second of the day when we believe now, we can be in the land of promises. Okay? Thank you very much.
Special night, so if you remember, fine. If you didn't, fine. We're still going to do something special. If you want to go home, fine. If you want to stay, fine. What I'd like you to do, though, before that is I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'd like everybody to leave the room except for Bob and Steve and I. Okay?